Body, and thank you for joining us here at the Sunday morning adult Sunday school discussion group. Today we're going to be again in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. We're not ready to start yet. So I'll tell you what, why don't we start with prayer? Deb, want to do it?
Sure. Father, we thank you for your presence here. You said we're two or more gathered together in your name, you'll be here.
Yes.
And we just greet you today, and we ask for your blessing on Kathy and the word that comes forth from it, all the people.
Yes.
And Father, we just thank you for fellowshipping with us this morning. Amen.
Amen. Well, I think the last time, you know, the last thing we talked about was right around verse 8 of chapter 10. And if I remember correctly, because we were talking about idolatry and sexual sin, kind of based on the same zip.
What chapter are we in? 10?
10.
Yeah.
Chapter 10. So I'm going to just say, do 7 and 8 here out of the Passion Translation. And practicing idolatry, as some of them did, for it is written, the people settled into their unrestrained revelry, and this is when they were in their Exodus moment, and God was leading them day by day and night by night, minute by minute, taking care of all of their needs. And it said, the people settled into their unrestrained revelry, feasting and drinking. And then they rose up and became wildly out of control. Mm-hmm. Neither should we commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, which caused the death of 23,000 on a single day. And we kind of went over what that was and how it happened. So, I don't know, I think that we could all, let's just go ahead and start at verse 9, and one of our readers, go ahead and read, who's ever, you guys fight over whose turn it is.
I think you can take her, buddy.
Verse 9.
All right.
Nor should we provoke the Lord.
We should not tempt the Lord. Try his patience. Become a trial to him. Critically appraise him. And exploit his goodness as some of them did. And they were killed by poisonous serpents. Nor discontently complain as some of them did, and were put out of the way entirely by the destroyer, death. Now these things befell them by the way of a figure as an example and a warning to us. They were written to admonish and fit us for right action by good instruction. We in those days, the ages, have reached their climax, their consummation and concluding period. How far do you want me to read, you said? Did you say?
Where are you?
I'm on 12.
12 is a good. That's good.
Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands, who feels sure that he has a steadfast mind and is standing firm, take heed lest he fall into sin.
End at 12. So we're doing 9 to 12. That's right. What we're at least looking at today. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. I'm reading out of the King James now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is 11. All these things happened to them for examples. And they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So this is back in the day of Christ, right after the resurrection, or the death and resurrection of Christ. And they think that it's the end of the world. This is the end, the ends to whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. So, anybody have anything to say about any of that? Because I think it has a lot in there.
Well, I don't know if I was just going to look that up to see if that word for world there meant.
Okay.
Was aeon, which meant age.
Let's see.
You know.
Mm-hmm. The world is.
Probably.
Is
I haven't looked it up, but that's probably.
It is aeon.
It's aeon,
mm-hmm.
which means age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that end of that age for them
was
coming upon them, you know.
Yes.
It was the beginning of the bringing forth of the grace of God,
mm-hmm.
you know. But that didn't mean that completely stopped, because it's went on for 2,000 years.
You hear so many people now talk about the signs they're looking at and things
uh-huh.
that's happening.
All the time.
We're in another age, because it's really another age.
Mm-hmm.
They talk of it as it's the end of the world. Everything's going to end now.
Right.
These are what all the signs are showing.
That's why you have to look. You have to go back and look at the Greek and see what the words really are.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, because mm-hmm. you know, there, you know, down through history, there was the Stone Age, there was the Bronze Age, there was the Iron Age, there was, you know, all these different ages, you know, and you know, we've been in, if you want to call our age something, we've
mm-hmm.
been in a technological age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in one right now, to where technology is actually replacing people in a lot of instances.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if they call it, is it AI or
artificial intelligence.
Yeah. I'm terrible with anagrams or anything those things. But anyway, you know, what's going to happen when those things can think and stuff? I mean, are they going to actually need people other than to fix them when something goes wrong?
Not only that, they're trying to merge technology with people. They're trying
right.
to, they want to put implants in you,
oh, yeah.
do all kinds
oh,
of stuff.
Sure. They're doing a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
They've put things in people's skulls that make them be able to hear and all kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, Lord knows they're tracking you. They could.
Well, they track you everywhere
right.
you go with this right
yes.
here. They know exactly where you are all the time.
And what you're buying.
They know what
and
you're buying.
And what you're looking at. And who you're talking to.
And let me tell you something else. They can turn this thing on in that camera, and you don't even know it's turned on.
Mm-hmm.
They want to.
I don't know if it was in Michigan or some college that they made these robots where they walk through the class, through the halls, and they,
uh-huh.
and, they stop and like, shake your hand because they were on, you know, two legs, arms and everything
sure.
like that.
Sure.
And they would, you know, stop and shake hands with the students. And so, you know, hey, it ain't too far off.
Well, maybe. All of us are old enough that, at least I know I'm old enough for that. Maybe not Debbie. She's a young one.
Oh, yeah.
She's young.
I don't know a thing.
No, but I was going to say, we all got to see Flash Gordon when we were kids. You ever watch on television?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the funny thing is a lot of stuff that they did in them old shows,
they're doing.
They ended up doing
yes.
it, you know. And that's because anything that man can imagine and really sets his heart on it, he can accomplish it. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Television. They tell a vision.
You know,
yeah.
it's
tell
funny.
My vision.
It's funny because the younger generation building on these robots and
yeah.
stuff.
I heard somebody tell a joke the other day. They was telling that the joke was that this one kid said to this old person said, well, you know, you're not of this generation. You know, you don't understand all this technology and all this and all that. And they said, well, you know, you're right. They said, but what you forget is my generation created all this.
That's right.
And people tend to forget that, you know.
Sure.
That, you know.
Well, I think that it's interesting that we had the Exodus.
Right.
The Exodus where God ended the captivity of his chosen people, mm-hmm. and he brought them out. And this, and now here we are in 1 Corinthians, which was in the day of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the second day, yeah. And he, they're talking about, you know, they're still telling them, look, this, these things are all examples for us today. Mm-hmm. And he, but he was talking to the people of that day. Watch that. See how Jesus, how God treated his chosen people when he brought them out of captivity. And that was the second day. And now here we are. Are we at, and I mean, I know that every thing that grabs me spiritually in the Bible right now is still taking me back to the Exodus and the end of that, what the way that God treats his chosen people, not because they are so worthy, because look at how they acted then.
Yeah.
But and still they went off on their own, you know, in their own way and all that jazz. But today I believe there's another Exodus coming where God is leading us out of the captivity that we are in. To things of this earth, and I believe, you know, and this is the third day, and Jesus said, I'll be in the grave for 2 days, and on the third day I will arise, and he's bringing us up, ascending, and I believe that, this is just me, and it is just my opinion, but I feel a new awareness of spiritual relationship with God. I think one of the most important things that we have to learn is who we are in Christ.
Yes, Jesus.
And stand in that. Because Jesus said, Father, the glory that I had with you, I've given it to them. Mm-hmm. You know, we have more power and more authority, but we just have to learn to walk in it. And I was reading the other day.
Which comes out of being one with him.
Yes. I was reading the other day, and I thought I was reading something that was mm-hmm. going to go along with what we were reading today, and we didn't come up with, so it must be down further or up further or anything, but it said one of the reasons, like that when they were telling the story after the 40 years, and Caleb and
Joshua
and Caleb said, we are able to go up and take the country.
Caleb actually did all the talking. Joshua didn't say anything.
Same way as with Moses, his brother.
But when you realize what that was a type of man mm-hmm. and a type of God, because Joshua's name means God the Savior.
Mm-hmm.
So God the Savior was with Caleb, mm-hmm. but Caleb did all the talking.
Amen. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, here's what I was reading, and it grabbed me about what we're talking about today. The other 10 said, "We are, you know, they are as giants up there."
Yes.
Isn't that the way we're feeling? What we're up against right now are giants.
Yeah.
But we were grasshoppers in our own minds. And so we were in theirs. We were able to go up and take the country. But what stopped several things. Fear. We feared their size. Mm-hmm. And our mindset. We thought we were grasshoppers, and so we were.
And what says is that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Saying.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know who they were up against? This really grabbed me too. The sons of Anak.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how, and you were telling us about Anak?
Yeah.
They were descendants of the giants. Like
Goliath.
They were big, tall, long-necked guys.
They found those skeletons all over the world.
And you know, the funny thing about Anak's name literally means a chain about
your
neck.
That's what I wanted you to talk about.
Mm-hmm. That means, you know, and what a chain about your neck, what does that mean? That means it's putting a stranglehold on you, or that it's controlling you.
Mm-hmm.
And Margaret, you know, God graphically showed me that when that took place because of that old man that lived next door. And Margaret, she always is friends with old people. She always, you know,
well,
takes
up
with
them. Well, that's why she likes me so much.
She does, and she's always there for them if they need her or something like that. And she used to go over and show that old man's walkway because he walked up the street every day to go to the hitching post was on the corner of our street. And she'd shovel his walkway and stuff and wouldn't take no money for it or nothing. You know, she just wanted to make sure he could get out and didn't end up, well, he ended up falling in his house and breaking his hip. Well, his relatives, one of them was a priest, and they never came around until he hurt himself. I mean, we lived next to him for years and years. After he come around, after he fell, then they all started coming around like vultures. Well, he had a bunch of P&G stock and stuff like that. He apparently had a lot of money. You wouldn't have known it to look in his house. But anyway, but Margaret kept saying all the time while all this was going on with him, she said, I feel like they're not treating him like they should. They're not taking care of him. And she was very upset about that. And she said, and she actually the one that found him because he didn't come out to go eat for days. And she said, something's wrong with Ed. I haven't seen him walk up the street, you know. And she went over and beat on his door, you know, and he never did answer. She went to the back door and beat on the back door and kept hollering, Ed, you all right? You all right? And she could hear him moaning.
Aww.
He had fell. And he laid there for a day or two after he fell. Well, anyway, she kept saying, and people, if you have those giant situations in your life sometime, she said, I keep feeling like I'm choking. I feel like I'm choking. And you know, and God hadn't revealed that message to me about that yet. He mm-hmm. spoke that name Anak to me about months earlier, mm-hmm. you know, months earlier. And I'd just written it down in my Bible. But anyway, she kept saying, I just feel like I'm choking. I feel like I'm choking. She said, it's just, and I even took her to the doctor. He said, no, there's nothing wrong with your throat. He says, it's probably just emotions, you know, mm-hmm. and stuff. And for her, because she wanted to make sure he was okay and didn't want them to mistreat him, mm-hmm. you know, and they stuck him off in a nursing home and mm-hmm. and he ended up dying while he was in the nursing home. Well, buddy, they sure didn't make sure they got his 57, pristine 57 Pontiac. The priest took that one, you know, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. And they was over there vulturing around getting something. Mm-hmm. And they told Margaret, they said, well, you've been so nice to him. They said, we'd like to give you something.
Yeah.
And they gave her two or three old chairs, wooden chairs, and they gave her an old footstool. Well, he had antique furniture and stuff. And they, man, they pillaged him big time, quickly, you know what I mean? But I mean, he was a nice old guy, you know, Ed Paul was his name. But, you know, she it was just upset her. She don't like to see people mistreated in any way. She gets very upset if she thinks somebody's being mistreated. And, you know, and when the Lord started dealing with me about that whole situation and I saw that, you know, Anak meant a chain about the neck, I knew exactly what God was showing. He was physically showing me that thing was choking her. She felt like it was choking the life out of her. But it's because it was such a big situation for her, and she could do nothing about it.
Yes.
You know. The other part of that, Kathy, if you remember, what did Caleb say to them when they said they saw the giants, and when they said we were as grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we were in theirs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What else did they say? You remember what else they said? Caleb said to them, he said, we're well able to go up and take the land. He said, they'll be bread for us.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's
in Numbers 33, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Lord brought back to me about the milk show that when I was younger, he showed a little boy drinking milk, and he was this tall. He drank a little bit more milk, and then he was this tall. He drank a little bit more milk, and he was this tall. And then somebody picked up on that.
That was bread.
With bread,
yeah.
You know, and started doing the bread.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the
Wonder bread.
Was original, and it was called Wonder Bread.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just to show you how beautiful God works things out. And Wonder Bread's main thing was Wonder Bread builds strong bodies in 12 ways. 12 is the number for governmental perfection in God. So the giant situations in your life, if you trust God, mm-hmm. will build, perfect governmental perfection in you because you trust in the Lord, see. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but oh my goodness, it's amazing sometimes the way God showed, and you're hitting all over my sermon this morning with the stuff that you're saying.
Really?
Yes, you are.
Hallelujah. That's God. Okay. The thing that I had seen was in verse 7, we started at 9. But in the Mirror Bible, it reads like this. Their idolatry snared them further. This is when they got up, you know, when they were in the desert. Mm-hmm. They were infatuated with a distorted pattern of themselves. Mm. When you see yourself in a distorted manner, then what's happening to you? You're not looking through the eyes of God. You're looking at yourself from somewhere else. So you're not,
you know,
if you don't see yourself as God sees you, and how does God see you? He sees you as beautiful. He sees you as his child. He sees you as immature, but perfect in your growth. You know, he sees you as you really are. And if we don't see ourselves as we really are, we will, when we're presented with that opportunity to go up and take the country, we'll see ourselves as grasshoppers, mm-hmm. which is not one of my favorite things. Mm. I think they're listed as a food additive now.
Mm-hmm. And crickets.
Crickets. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the
so we really have a mistaken
cicadas.
Identity.
People eat them too. Yeah.
Not me.
No.
These what?
Cicadas. People eat them also,
yeah.
So, yeah. They're supposed to be super high in protein. Dogs
eat the wings off. Time.
Yeah, they're super high in parasites.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The ugliest little thing and a big bug eye.
I saw this one guy on the TV, like, picking them off the trees and popping them in his mouth.
Not me.
Me either.
That's where in the Mirror Bible that the explanation of that pulls in Numbers 13:33.
Well, I like what the message here says in 11 and 12. It says, these are all warning markers, danger, in our history books written down so that we don't repeat their mistakes.
That's right.
Our positions in this story are parallel, mm-hmm. which means we're running side by side.
Mm-hmm. But the thing of it is to me is that it's all a working of God.
They are at the beginning.
Our positions might be parallel, but the workings of God in our mindset, this is a new day. It is there, and you know, and it's God at work within us, and He is bringing us.
Yeah,
He is bringing us out. We could never bring ourselves out. We can't ever bring ourselves up. Mm-hmm. Christ and Christ alone, and Him crucified, is the only thing. And soon, and very soon, we're going to see the King.
Let me finish
you
this.
Know where I'm going to see the King? In her eyes, in his eyes. You know where you're going to see him? In my eyes. We are together going to see Jesus Christ in one another. And when we see that, we're all going to be like-minded and just like him. And it is not of ourselves. It is Christ.
You know, in the Old Testament, one time I was teaching on Ezekiel, and in the first part of Ezekiel, when he says he was by the river Chebar, and with the captives, he was with the captives, and he said he had visions of God. And if you actually go back and look at the original text in that, he had looking glass visions. When you go in your bathroom in the morning, what do you look into? A looking glass, and it actually said looking glass, and it does say mirror also. It said mm-hmm. looking glass or mirror visions. So where was he seeing this at? Right inside himself, mm-hmm. you know. And boy, when you understand that, and then you understand the types and the shadows that God was showing him, he was really showing him everything that he was going to do. You know, I mean, and a lot of people want to say, well, the Old Testament is the Old Testament and the New Testament. You can't separate them. It's all the Word of God. And the Old Testament is concealed, but if God gets somebody that has a prophetic thing on them, they can unveil it and show you just exactly how it is the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And it was totally revealed. And all the scriptures that they quote in the New Testament just about were in the Old Testament. You know what I mean? And when Jesus came, he was fulfilling a lot of those scriptures, you know. He was bringing the reality of them into being, you know. But it's pretty neat, you know, how these things are.
I think whenever those feelings that things are out of control, that there's a reason to fear, mm-hmm. that there's a reason to lose your peace, those are the things when you have to pull yourself back to seeing God. You know, because as long as you surround yourself with the purpose of God and the realization that God has a purpose and that you are part of his purpose on this earth, then you're going to be able to find your way through the rubble, you know, and not have fear. Because fear is the thing that causes us to not function as children of God, to me, my opinion.
Well, it's more than your opinion. It's a revelation from God.
Hallelujah.
That is. That's just not just an opinion.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, what was Mike finishing?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike.
What?
Finish reading what you was reading over there, buddy.
Oh, it says, they at the beginning, we at the end, mm-hmm. and we are just as capable of messing it up as they were. Don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Well, why are you
yes.
saying the same thing?
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Who do you think you are?
I'm sorry.
Mr. Big Shot.
Are you talking about Mr. Big Shot? Who do you think you are? Are you talking about me? Who do you
no,
think
I'm talking about well, I know who you are.
I think he was quoting that song.
Yeah.
Mr. Big Shot.
You know what goes
that
before
could be all
falls,
of us at times.
You
know, it could be all
you
of
know.
Us.
Well, I think that there's a we're seeing now what pride does to people. The kingdoms that are imploding are a testimony to what happens to the prideful.
Everything revolves back to the old times. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you trying to say there's nothing new under the sun?
Amen.
You sound just like Solomon over there.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Well, we're all in an age where people look at things as the things that make them happy.
Mm-hmm.
The more stuff you can gather, the better off you are. And the older I get, the more I realize, the less stuff I have, the happier I am.
Yeah. That is so true. Well, is it 2 Titus, my favorite verse? Content, godliness with contentment is great gain. And there's even more to that. Who do you think you are, O man? Something like this. It best to be content if you have food and clothing. Be content. I forget exactly. Anymore.
Paul said he had been abased and abounded, and he had learned that in whatsoever state he was in, therewith to be content.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know that was just another section of that, you know,
yes.
so to speak.
Yes.
You know.
And I read a little thing this morning that said, if you love to look at rainbows, you better learn to love the rain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mike and I were talking on the way to church today, and he says, I caught every green light on the way down. It's just a little joke that we have. And I said, oh, you're blessed. And I said, you know what? Sometimes God blesses us with red lights. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's all blessing.
Gives you time to stop and think.
Well, not only that, it might stop you before that big 8-wheeler truck comes.
Well, it's interesting. When we were driving,
it gives you time to stop and think.
When we were driving, the speed limit is 55 on that road. I was doing almost 60, and everybody was flying by me like I was standing still. And I thought, what are they in a big hurry for? How many times have I said to you, well, there he goes, and then we pull up the red light, say, didn't get any further than me.
The red lights are a great equalizer on the road.
He's up there waiting for me.
How precious is our God. Mm. Yeah. I know it sounds simplistic, but doesn't he say a sparrow doesn't fall out of a tree? That almost makes me cry. You know, I love my birds and I love my flowers. A sparrow doesn't fall out of a tree without me knowing it, you know? And how much more does he love us?
Yes. Yeah.
That's right.
Let's have unity. Oh, can't we just all get along?
Yes.
That has been said before.
Amen.
Praise God, praise God.
Oh, yes.
Well, they make it hard for that today.
Yeah. Well, everybody wants to talk about...
They tell you that, you know, he's the bad guy, he's a good guy, who, you know, you don't have to like him, you shouldn't like him, you should like him.
But you better like him.
That song that we used to sing about, Let There Be Peace on Earth.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what was the rest of the word? And let it begin where?
With me.
With me. Mm-hmm. And you know, that if when we come to the realization that the only person you really have control over is yourself, mm-hmm. to a certain extent,
yeah.
I mean,
because
we're still out of control.
And the only thing
but I'm saying,
is our attitude.
That's right. And it's really up to us to be a peacemaker, you know, to be a someone who encourages rather than discourages, you know, and that kind of stuff. And I believe that eventually we will come into the fullness of that, to where, you know, Jesus didn't really get on the sinners too much. Mm-hmm. He got on the religious folks, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Overturned the tables.
Yeah, yeah. And it was the religious folks he got on. Why? Because they were looking down on other people, you know. And when you're down, you ain't got nowhere to look but up. You know what I mean? And sometimes we have to realize that, you know, that we are where we are by the grace of God. And we could be in that same situation as that other person. And
Do you have any thoughts, Oscar, on those two little things I sent you? Does anybody...
You're talking about
the
suddenly?
Spontaneous...
Are you talking about that one or which one?
Well, I'm talking about the spontaneous revival that seems to be happening in our country with the college kids and, you know, where people are coming. And it's not only in America, it's all over the world.
And it's not only college kids. I heard that some Eastern religious people have had visions of Jesus.
Muslims,
yeah.
Many thousands of Muslims coming to
Christ.
He does, you know, Christ can do it. And how did they come to Christ? They had dreams of Jesus coming and talking to them. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know.
Visions.
Yes.
Well, see, that's the thing. We, in our own self, cannot change anything. Mm-hmm. It's like, based on what you were saying before. Mm-hmm. But Christ in you can, but it still has to be the Christ in you directing you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've told you all that I baptized Andy over the weekend.
Yeah, how did that go?
Good. And he said, I was telling Brendan now, he said, after we got baptized, he said, I just feel like just a huge weight has been lifted off of me. Wow. You know.
Crazy.
Because, I mean, that boy's had a rough time. He's had a rough life. I mean, he has. He's had a rough time.
God at the time.
Praise God.
And,
beautiful.
But the thing about it is he told me, you know, because since he'd been in the nursing home, a few of these nursing homes, he said, well, when I go outside, you know, and I try to witness to people, they get mad. They tell me, I don't want to hear that stuff. And I told him, and the Lord gave me a prophetic word for him after after I baptized him. And part of that word was that the Lord was going to open his mouth, but he was to only speak when the Lord told him to speak. You know.
Yes.
And I said, there's a whole difference. I felt like the Lord was going to place an anointing on him, mm-hmm. that when he speaks, it will break the yokes of people's lives. But, you know, when we try to bulldoze in there, boy, we make a mess of it usually. Mm-hmm. And if you just only, as God opens the door, step in there, then something will happen. And whether it happens right then or not, it doesn't mean anything. I worked with a guy, and I'll tell you this real quick, worked with a guy who was the most negative guy I ever knew. It was always the glass was half empty, no matter what it was, you know what I mean, that kind of guy. And, you know, and I witnessed to him one time, and boy, he just would not receive it. You know, he was just so negative, negative. And I thought, okay, you know, but let me tell you what, his wife went, and this was back during the charismatic movement that was going on in the 70s, early 70s, and his wife had real bad feet, and they were having some kind of revival up at Notre Dame College up there, you know, in Indiana, and they had a Baptist preacher and a priest overseeing this thing, because the priest got the baptism of the Holy Spirit and all that stuff. Well, she went up there, and I had told him, I shared my testimony about God healing me from epilepsy and all this stuff, you know, and I could tell he didn't receive that at all. Well, his wife got healed, but he was singing a different tune after that. Mm-hmm. But see, God probably had me prepare the ground just a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, even though he wasn't really real receptive to it. But then God turned around and touched him in his life, someplace very intimate, which yes. was his wife, see. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden it's a little different, mm-hmm. you know. And he was just beating on Jim Baker so bad, you know, just down on Jim Baker, you know, over all that stuff. And that was about the time that the Pope came to America. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. He said, what's that? I said, you're caring about Jim Baker having, you know, air conditioning in the doghouse and all this kind of stuff. I said, I read something about when the Pope came over here, it cost millions of dollars a day. Millions and millions of dollars for his security and for all that stuff. I said, you think it might have been better if he just stayed home and sent that millions of dollars over to help poor people or done something for somebody, rather than just driving around in the Pope mobile or something? You know, I told him, I said, I'm not trying to knock the guy. I said, if God told him to come, then he should come. You know, I said, you know, all of these people that are these highfalutin ministries and all this stuff, I said, sometimes they just need to park the jet or get rid of a few Cadillacs or a few Rolls Royces or whatever they're running around in and put that money to some good use, you know.
What'd he say?
He didn't say too much, yeah. But I mean, you know, it's easy when it's somebody else, you know, but you know, all of those religious folks and us too sometimes if we're not careful, you know, we need to remember that we can do things to help people rather than helping ourselves sometimes so much, you know what I mean.
What is it? One man might plant, another man might.
One man waters, one plants, one waters.
But
God gives
the
increase,
yes.
And that's the only place
I
to
think
increase
God is
from.
Doing something like that.
Too. He is, I believe it.
See there in Corinthians 10, verse 24. That no one that seeks. Wait a minute. Yeah, no one then seeks his own good advantage and profit. Rather, each one or the other,
right.
Let him seek the welfare of his neighbor.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people are out for themselves, some, you know,
right.
Nowadays.
Well, you know, and I'll have this a little bit in my message today, but the word I in Scripture It's spelled E G O.
Ego.
Ego.
Yeah.
And we need to get the I out of the situation.
Yes.
You know?
Amen.
And if you read back in the Old Testament, I think it was Isaiah, where man said, "I will do this. I will I'll take the wings in the morning. I'll ascend above the heights, and I'll do this, and I'll do that, and I'll do something else."
Who said that?
And that's what they Lucifer.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't the devil, like people think. Lucifer means day star, morning star. It was man, and Jesus was the bright and morning star. He was the fulfillment of man in the image of God. And when it says back there that thou art a man, that thou should make the earth quake, you know, or whatever. And it's not talking about the devil back there. It's talking about man, you know.
That's right.
So everybody thinks it's the devil, but it's really not.
It's been taught.
Please.
It's been taught.
Yeah, it's been taught.
It's been taught.
It's erroneous teaching. Yes, it is.
Well, it's interesting, we were talking about a little bit about the thing down at the college in Kentucky, and I was on the iPad this morning. I always look at Fox News in the morning, and they had a big story about a thing that's going to be on the Jersey Shore this year, where they're expecting thousands upon thousands of people to come to this revival, and it's, I think, what the heck did they call it? Bridge Fest.
Yeah.
And it's actually the guy from the Jesus Revelation movie. He's one of the guys who was involved.
Revolution.
Out in California.
Yeah.
And he started this, and they've been doing it for 20 some years. Mm-hmm. And I'd never heard of it before. And they're expecting more people this year than ever. Mm-hmm. You know, I think what we're saying is absolutely right. There is a movement going on in this, not only just here, but throughout the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's flowing through it. And, you know, the best thing we can do is just get out of the way. Mm-hmm. I was playing golf the other day with Don Bradford, and we were talking about the thing in Kentucky. And he said, "How did that start? You know, how?" And I said, "From my understanding, the way it started is one of the students was walking by the chapel one day, walked in and started playing music real soft, and people started coming in."
Well, Kathy had said something to me the other day, and I haven't totally, I've been looking at it, but I haven't totally gotten into it. You'd said something to me about checking into suddenly, you know, the word suddenly. I'm looking at it, and I'm, I'll share something on it eventually, you know. I'm kind of looking at it, and the Lord's showing me something, but you know, that's the way God moves, suddenly. And suddenly, sometimes, is there's no rhyme, there's no reason for it, or it doesn't have to be anybody involved, you know. And I can say that's the way I got saved. I didn't get saved in a church. I didn't get saved in them listening to no TV minister. Mm-hmm. I got saved at home because God, I had visitations from God when I was younger and ignored them, you know, and backed away from him. But I'm going to tell you what, he deals with you just how you need to be dealt
That's
with.
Right.
And buddy, when I went in finally and gave up and said, "Lord, I can't run from you no more." And I was sort of like Jonah in that sense. I'd been running and my life had started getting more and more miserable all the time, it felt like. When I finally went in and said, "Lord, I give up, I got to have you," he come in. And he come in and, well, I tell you what, it was nice. I mean, he changed, and he started opening his word up to me. I didn't have any preachers involved. I didn't have anybody involved. I'd sit and read something, and I'd say, "Lord, I don't." I basically closed my eyes, and I'd sit there and I'd pray, and I'd say, "Lord, I don't know what the heck I just read. What does that mean? You got to teach me. You got to lead me. You got to guide me." And he did. He started opening up things to me that I didn't hear preached for years after that. You know. And, you know, the thing about him moving with these kids and stuff, it doesn't take no big preacher, it doesn't take no big nothing. Guy going in and start playing the piano, and all of a sudden, are playing music, and all of a sudden kids start being drawn in there. Well, what they, no man can come unto the Father, what, unless God draws him.
That's all we lifted up.
That's the only way, see? And, you know, and our part of this, I honestly believe part of our part of this is this, because he has opened so many things up to us. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, you know, I've heard a negative thing said about this church and me, in the sense that people say, well, all Oscar does is teach. I'm going to tell you what, the day of teachers is coming real soon, real, real soon, because people are going to have to be taught as God opens
not understanding sent to hell, not told how to wear their hair,
not taught
what movies to say.
Taught about who and what they are in Christ, and what he is in them, you know. And
because
this is not this fairy tale that's being taught out there in the church system today.
The church
it is a fairy tale.
Is
a lot of
coming
it.
To an end.
It's a fairy tale.
No more tickling ears and silliness.
Right.
That's interesting you said that, because I've seen and heard in the last few weeks more about the one-on-one relationship with Christ than I have in a long time. That it's not about the churches, it's not about this, it's about you and Christ. Your personal relationship.
Yes.
I don't know where I've seen it, but I bet I've seen it a half a dozen times in the last couple of weeks.
Well, see, the thing about it is what did the disciples call Jesus? You know, they called him Rabbi.
Rabbi.
What does rabbi mean?
Teacher.
Teacher. Not preacher, teacher.
Teacher.
Okay. When you were growing up, your mom or your dad could have stood and preached to you and preached to you and preached to you about getting an education, doing this, doing that, doing something else. But you know who really impacted your life when you went to school? And we all had at least one who really impacted you very strongly.
Yes.
A teacher. You know, because why? They weren't just telling you that you needed to do this. They were showing you how to do it. They were opening it up to you to where you understood it. You know, the greatest thing that I've ever had anybody say to me, and I've had a few people say this a few times, is that after I understood everything you said. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? If you're saying stuff that people don't understand, what good is it?
Mm-hmm.
What good is it?
It's like speaking in tongues.
That's right. Speaking in tongues is wonderful.
Word.
It edifies you. if you want other people to be edified, you should start praying when you speak in tongues and say, Lord, give me the interpretation.
Right.
Even edify yourself to a certain extent. Say, Lord, what did I just pray in tongues? And you might find that it's a directed word. It's a comforting word, or whatever it is, you know.
I find lately that, like when I'm just waking up, or I've had a dream, or I'm drifting into the history of Kathy, and the olden days of my life, and I'm thinking, and I see other things in the world around me, and I find that I have to pray all the time, Lord, lead me. Because things sometimes, I don't know if I'm the only one, sometimes it's hard to discern. And the more that you get into trying to find truth in the things that are going on, you say, Lord, now is this true or is this true? Because both of these paths look good, or neither of these paths look good. You have to have the leading of the Lord. And sometimes it's a step at a time for me. It's a step at a time.
I'm going to talk about paths a little bit today too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's always two paths.
Mm-hmm.
There's
always
two ways.
You always have a choice, don't you?
There's always two ways.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Your way and His way.
Yes. Well,
you know,
would you close in a word of prayer?
Thank you,
Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for this word today. I thank you for this class. I think there was a lot of beautiful, great things said here today. And I feel like that, Father, you're going to begin to even open the eyes of our understanding, that we might see you more clearly and see what our part is in doing what you would have us do. And that help us to realize that, Father, it's not about us being a doer, but it's about us seeing the revelation of you and walking in your light as you reveal it to us. And Father, I thank you for what you're going to do. I ask you to just bless the service as we go out there and minister through the songs, through the music. And just, Father, this Sunday school today and the word that goes forth out there, I ask you to just let your anointing rest on it and let it break the yokes mm-hmm. in people's lives mm-hmm. and set them free, Father, yes. in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Teach it another.